ప్రేమస్వరూపులైన విద్యార్థులారా, విద్యా బోధకులారా, విద్యాభిమానులారా,
I am like the roaring lion in the dream. My roaring will wake you up from this dream unto reality.
This is The Lion's Roar, the DSI podcast all about understanding the teachings of Sathya Sai Baba in their truest form.
The heat of the jungle swells around you as you wipe the sweat off your brow. You hear an enticing sound, the musical tones of some sweet songbird. You can't see exactly where it is. As you wander towards it, entranced, the sound grows louder and you're suddenly swooped by an invisible attacker. You turn and run, branches whipping across your face. More and more creatures come out of the trees, and as you jump, creeper trips you over and you're on the ground. There's nothing for it. You turn to face the beasts. But there's nothing there. When the beast is something you can't see, how can you tame it? When the grip it has on you is invisible, how do you break its hold? What are these wild, mysterious animals? What is it going to take to tame them? Sairam, I'm Deepika, and today we kickstart our adventure into Discourse 4, Mastery of the Senses, where we're going to learn what it takes to be a true hero in Swami's eyes. Swami, in this series, is really trying to help us come to terms with what we are not. That is, we are not this body. There is no body without the senses, and no senses without the body. Therefore, we cannot be the senses either. Nor can we allow them to control us. Okay, so let's be real. The concept of sense control isn't the most appealing to anyone. But as we saw in the poem at the start of this discourse, if we want to be constantly at peace, to avoid the pendulum of life striking us with all its dualities, joy, sorrow, success, failure, victory, defeat, if we want freedom, real freedom from all of this, then we have to make the effort. Who should be in control? Because at this point, our senses are. And here we are, tail between legs, waiting for their next command. The role of the senses is remarkable. The wonders performed by the divine defy description. But the part played by the senses is even more marvelous and mysterious. Before we move any further into the discourse, let's take a moment and explore three simple terms to ensure we're all on the same page with Swami. Indriya, Vishaya, and Matraha. When Swami uses the word Indriya here, he is referring to the organs of perception. We're familiar with this idea, the faculties of sound, touch, sight, taste, and smell. Another way to put it is it's the ability to hear, see, touch, etc. Then we have the sense objects, which Swami refers to as Vishaya. Sense objects are what our sense organs respond to. Our external environment is full of these sensory objects. Swami clearly states in this discourse that without the sensory objects, the senses cannot function even for a moment. All the activities of the senses are oriented towards the objects in the environment. So our senses come alive when our sense organs come in contact with sense objects. Swami introduces us to another word that is used for the senses, matraha. Okay, let's pause here to think about something. Swami isn't giving us all these terms to expand our vocabulary. He's trying to draw our attention to a quality or a hidden meaning behind what the word signifies. Unlike in languages such as English, these words are not pointing to an object or a literal meaning. These words that Swami refers to reveal a property of what it is describing. So let's hold that thought in the back of our minds and we'll go back to the discourse. The word matraha reveals the idea that our senses are instruments that measure. When we look at a picture, our eyes measure whether it's super cool or slightly weird. When we taste a mango, our tongue measures if it's sweet or sour. Our nose determines if that same mango is safe to eat or if it's gone off. When we hear a siren, our ears measure how near or far the ambulance is. So essentially, the sense organs have the capacity to measure and determine the characteristics of the sense objects that they're trying to capture. Kind of like a ruler. The ruler simply measures length. That's all it's capable of doing. Hang on a minute. Something doesn't quite, well, measure up. If all our senses are doing is measuring, then what is so strange, unpredictable, and indescribable about them? Let's go back a little. Swami also says that the senses are even more subtle than the body. So what is he referring to? Because the eyes, ears, nose, mouth, they're all part of the body, right? We take a clue that Swami gives us much later on in Discourse 10, where he explains the origins of the senses. Are these organs of perception functioning externally or internally? The answer is they perform a dual role, both internal and external. If only the physical organ, the ear, is present, but if the faculty of hearing is absent, the ear cannot hear. If the faculty of hearing is present, but there is no ear to receive the sounds from the outside world, the faculty is of no use. Swami makes this even clearer in a discourse he delivered in Prashanthi Nilayam on June 21, 1996. Eyes by themselves do not have the power to see. Similarly, ears have no power of their own to hear, and the tongue has no power to speak. It is the divine power that makes them function. Suppose a man is dead. He does have eyes, ears, and a tongue, but they cannot function. Why? The reason is that he has lost his innate divine power. Now, this is a whole new dimension to sense control. The external sense organs are simply measuring. They receive the data. But here's the kicker. What is it that enlivens the senses? There is something internally that operates along with the sense organs too. Our eyes take in the Netflix catalogue, but there is something internally that is prompting that craving to hit play and see what that movie is all about, isn't it? Swami explores this internal world a bit more in the next discourse. So until then, we'll leave that question here as food for thought. We have so far looked at the concepts of indriya, senses, vishaya, the objects that enliven the senses, and the term matraha, measuring instrument. Swami now introduces us to a concept from the Kathopanishad, a spiritual text which starts with the story of a young boy, Nachiketas by name, who is seeking the answer to a very deep question. What happens after we die? What survives after the body and senses are no longer present? Swami describes this story in much more detail in Upanishad Vahini if you're keen to know more. But in summary, Nachiketas willingly enters the abode of Yama and is initiated into spiritual discipline by the god of death himself. As part of this teaching, Yama presents a chariot analogy, which Swami refers to here in Discourse 4, and it's also a bit of a recurring theme in the discourses to come as well. So let's bring the image of a chariot to mind. That classic golden casing, big wheels, white horses. The charioteer sits with his hands tightly wrapped around the reins, and behind him, in the chariot, sits the master. In this analogy, the horses here are our senses. And what are horses like in general? Always restless. Swami points out how horses are never still. Some part of them is constantly moving, whether it's their tail, their mouth, their eyes twitching. Even when they're asleep, they move. It's pretty clear why our senses are likened to horses, right? Just as restless, fickle, constantly shifting attention, all they want is their next feed. And what are they devouring? They look to graze the field of vishaya, the sense objects that are available to them. Training these horse-like senses is our duty. Swami points out that only one who has done this can be called a hero in a true sense. Whatever rituals one may perform, whatever scriptures one might have mastered, if one has no control over his senses, all these accomplishments are worthless. Strong words from Swami that emphasize how important it is that we make this effort. Do you hear that? That beautiful, melodic siren song you heard returns, but this time you're ready. What a difference it makes to see the unseen. Armed with new perceptions, you see the creatures for what they are, the mysterious senses hiding in the least likely of places, waiting to ensnare you in their wild games. But you, well, you're ready to dodge their grip, to distract them with other things, to show them who's boss. With the beast in your sights, clear as day, you emerge victorious. The beast is tamed. Until next time, stay rawsome.